I'm exhausted after that prayer, David. That went not too long, but there was so many things in it, so many people, so much to pray about, and I think that's a wonderful thing for a church, isn't it? Now, I asked David what this cushion was up here for, and I thought if I get tired, I can just do that, but maybe not. But I thank you for your welcome, and it's nice to be... I feel we're with like-minded people today, and it's great to be here and to share a little bit about the ministry of Samaritan's Purse and the Billy Graham organisation as well. My mind went back, and by the way, I said to my wife, I think they've put that song on for us, Jesus Loves Me. Well, beautiful, okay, we have to take that up the hill and use that. And because I did look in the mirror this morning, I thought, good night, what have they got this old bloke for? However, I was speaking at a Baptist church a long time ago in country Victoria, unidentifiable. I was only a young buck, a long while ago. And we did this mission focus service. It was with MMM at the time. And we had the evening service, which was a Baptist service. I don't know what that means, but it was a church service. And we were going to be doing an after church missions focus session. So I said to my mate from the church, I said, what's the go? How many people do you reckon will stay for later? He said, well, put it this way. He said, the Baptists will go home and the Christians will stay. And I thought that was, I've spent the last 40 years trying to work out what that meant. But it's good to be with fellow Christians today. And by the way, if you don't identify yet as a Christian, well then I encourage you to look seriously at that even today, at your personal faith in Christ. So I feel at home in a church like this. Mission running through my blood all my life, and Merrill as well. And I'm all about the gospel. I'm all about two things. The gospel, I'll back that anywhere, everywhere. And secondly, Christian humanitarian work. And that's what Samaritan Purse is all about. It's more than shoeboxes. And I hope I can show you today that the ministry of Samaritan Purse is all about the gospel. And more so in recent years. Every time I read something, I look at something, I hear something. If I meet with Franklin Graham, the first thing he's got to say to me is John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He's just... the gospel permeates the ministry. But I love your church because I've driven past here for years. I thought, well, what's in that place? What's that like, you know? And I'm pleased to be here today. But it's a great facility you have for growth and for ministry. I love your missions board. I hear David's prayer before. Your food bank, the op shop, your cafe, the Burmage Church Fellowship that meets here, your playgroups. And very exciting, the seniors' hope. That rings a lot of bells with me. That's a wonderful thing, and I pray a real blessing on that as you go into the nursing homes. I was running a thing very, very similar years ago, and it's a wonderful thing because a lot of lonely people in nursing homes, and sometimes they don't get any visitors at all. And if you can go in and just be a friend, talk, read the front page of the paper, read some of the scriptures, whatever it's appropriate. It's a wonderful thing, and I think that's what we're called to do as a church, to reach out. So that's a great thing. Now, if you've got your Bible with you, I'm going to dive around to two or three different verses today. And the first one, I want to look at Proverbs 31, verse 8. And I want to take this as a text for today. Very simple, but very profound. And it says... Proverbs 31 verse 8 says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Pretty powerful instructions to us as God's people. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Now, Samaritan's Purse is based on the story of the Good Samaritan in the Bible. We probably all know it fairly well. Okay, that's the Samaritan side, but what's the purse side? What's this purse all about? Well, let me tell you, the purse is open. It's for people like you and I to contribute into that purse, if you like. It's for friends, it's for people like us, it's for churches, and everyone to give to this purse. And when Samaritan Purse goes to a need, a disaster, or whatever it might be, they can open the purse and there's the money to fund this large organisation. So shortly, we will read shortly, Luke chapter 10, the story of that Good Samaritan. But let me give you a little brief history of Samaritan's Purse. And shortly we'll see a couple of video clips which will give you a change from this voice to see, because I really believe that two in the eye is better than one in the ear, so we'll see some video clips as well. Bob Pierce was a friend of Billy Graham, Dr. Billy Graham. He was one of the great evangelical humanitarians of our century. Now, he was a Christian leader in motion pictures, in radio, in programs. He was an author, a lecturer, co-founder of Youth for Christ International, and of course, founder of Samaritan's Purse. Now, Bob famously said, if you look at his book, famously says, "May my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God." What a wonderful statement. May my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God. Billy Graham said Bob was going to Korea one time, one Christmas time, and would Billy go with him and preach the gospel? And Billy Graham said, "Little did I dream that being with Bob Pierce would greatly enlarge my vision for world missions." And by the way, that hymn we sang at the start, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name," Meryl and I were privileged to be taken to America in 2018 for Dr. Graham's funeral. And I just wish I had another hour to tell you about that. But what a wonderful thing. 55 nations there, 2,400 people, all by invitation. But Dr. Graham chose two hymns and two speakers for his funeral. Now, if I said to you, "Well, Billy Graham's died, we've got to work out this funeral, what are we going to sing?" And what, you know, like when you think of the size of the ministry. But the first hymn was "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." And he acknowledged the power in his ministry and his preaching came from Jesus himself, the power of Jesus' name. And you've probably already guessed what the second one was. "To God be the glory, great things he has done." Now, Bob Pierce went on to start World Vision. And his verse was Philippians 3:13. Let me read that verse to you. This was his motivating verse for Bob Pierce when he started that. It says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So there it was, forgetting what's behind, he strains forward to what is ahead. And that's a great challenge for me. It's a great challenge, I think, for us as a church. Over time, Bob became a little disenfranchised with World Vision, and he decided that he wanted more gospel focus, so he stepped aside and founded this thing called Samaritan's Purse. And it's all about the gospel. It's all about evangelical humanitarian work. And so the SP we know today is thoroughly gospel focused. Now, I want to tell you that Samaritan Purse is a lot more than a shoebox. I'll have that up in a minute. People think, "Oh, Samaritan Purse, shoeboxes," and that's great because shoebox is a wonderful ministry, but it's more than a shoebox. It's all about the gospel. In fact, that's the gospel in a box, which we'll talk about in a minute. I'd like you to have a look at this first little video clip. These are very short clips, just a minute and a half or so. Let's have a look at that first one if I can, Tim, and we'll go from there.
"This is my life. Take it. Spin me however you want to spin me. My life, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'm yours."
With a deep concern for others, Franklin Graham leads the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and has preached the gospel to more than 7 million people around the globe.
We've been separated from God, but God loves us. God hasn't turned his back on us.
World leaders from Europe, Africa, Asia, and Latin America welcome his sincere efforts to care for those in need.
There's a world out there that needs to know this wonderful news of God's love.
As a man of action, he directs the international relief work of Samaritan's Purse. When a crisis hits, their trucks, tarps, and determined workers are first on the ground. From a tsunami in South Asia to massive earthquakes in China, Haiti, and Japan.
Jesus Christ can make a difference in a person's life. Jesus Christ can come into a person's life and change that person instantly, immediately, forever.
The eldest son of evangelist Billy Graham committed his life to Jesus Christ when he was 22 years old. Since then, Franklin has never swerved from the path he chose, to boldly share the gospel, to tirelessly help the hurting, and to humbly serve Christ with all of his heart.
In 1978, Bob Pierce's dying wish, prayer, was for the young Franklin Graham to take over the ministry of Samaritan's Purse. He was a young buck of about 45 at the time. Now he's a grandpa in his 70s, but still enormous energy for work for the Lord. I don't understand how he can keep that up around the world, day and night, all the time, heading up the ministry. So once I was privileged to be at the office in America in Boone, and they said, we'd like to come to devotions tomorrow morning, staff devotions. I thought, that'll be good. So we'll go to staff devotions, expecting a little group of half a dozen or 10 or a dozen people. I walked in and there was staff members there having their morning devotion every morning of the week, 600 people there. We were lucky, they kept the table for us. We were lucky to find a spot. So that's the leadership. It's focused on prayer, it's focused on the gospel. 600 people at devotions that morning. So people ask, well, the Billy Graham organisation, is that doing anything these days? I mean, Dr. Graham is gone after all. Has it all fizzled out? Well, I'm here to tell you that it's alive and well. And I just want to share very quickly a couple of things that's happening at the moment, if I can. Here we are. And I know statistics are boring and it's overwhelming and all that, and I do have a few, but I won't talk about history, I'll talk about this year, right now. In fact, last year and this year. Franklin Graham is a wonderful preacher of the gospel, like his father was. And recently, in the last year, the last part of last year, he was in England, preached in Liverpool, Sheffield, London, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, Mongolia, across many cities in America and Canada, Milan in Italy and New Zealand, the major cities in New Zealand. It was last year. And might I just add, when I said Mongolia, when we take shoeboxes into a place, it opens the door for the gospel. And or we do some humanitarian aid of some kind. For example, Mongolia. They were hit with a very severe cold snap. It killed most of their herds. And the people are herdsmen there. That's their livelihood, the herds. And over the years, Samaritan Purse has been able to help restore those herds, get new herds in for them. We've brought those Mongolian herdsmen into Australia. We've sat with them and talked with them, shared the gospel. So what? Franklin's gone back there for a major gospel crusade in Mongolia. But this year, 2023, he's been preaching in Mexico City, Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam, across many USA cities, Essen in Germany, Rome in Italy, Seoul in South Korea. Now it's only August, isn't it? That's so far this year. But Billy Graham's largest crusade he ever did was in Seoul, South Korea. He preached to 3.2 million people over 5 days. And that was back in the 1930s. And the last rally, there was 1.1 million people in that rally. Could you just imagine it? I think of the logistics to pull this thing together. I think of water, I think of toilets, I think of, they were on a, sitting on the ground on a massive airfield. But in 1930, Ruth Billy Graham's wife, went to school at Pyongyang Foreign School in North Korea. It's now Pyongyang in North Korea. And that opened the door for the Graham name, the Graham family, to continue on and to minister there. And they keep going back and forth. Now, Will Graham is the son, eldest son of Franklin Graham, who's the grandson of Billy Graham. He's not a kid, he's nearly 50. He's a well-renowned world evangelist. There's many others in the family, but they haven't picked up that same anointing or the same gift that Will has. And he's a good friend of Aussies. He loves us blokes. He calls us blokes, he calls us mates and all that stuff, but he's a good friend. And I've been privileged that we have to travel with him a lot at his gospel efforts and crusades in Australia, like Orange, Bathurst, Lithgow, Alice Springs, Kalgoorlie, Broken Hill. And he was recently in a big crusade in Hobart and Launceston, where many, many hundreds of people came to Christ. He's all over the US, all over Canada speaking. He was recently, in the last few weeks, in Moldova, in Europe. And next month, he goes to Curitiba in Brazil. But more recently, we were with Will just a few weeks ago on the Gold Coast, where they gathered together all the pastors of the churches and Christian leaders on the Gold Coast. And there's a million people on the Gold Coast now. It's the size of Adelaide, so it's a major city. And 170 pastors came together to hear a plan to take the gospel to the Gold Coast. And we were privileged to be there. But it'll be happening on August 2 and 3 next year. And so let us pray for these men and their families and their teams, that they will be sustained in the ministry that God's called them to. Pray for many people that come to Christ on the Gold Coast. We know that's a needy place. So yes, I can say the Billy Graham organisation is alive and well and going flat out around the world. I've just talked about two people, but there's huge teams of people obviously behind him. So it is more than shoeboxes, of course, and that's the ministry. So Samaritan Purse is involved in disasters. It doesn't run away, it runs to a disaster. And every time I'm not working closely there, every time I see on the telly something's happened, a major disaster or an earthquake or something, my first thing, I'll guarantee Samaritan Purse are already there, or they're on the way, or they're planning. And that's what they do all over the world. If we can see that second video clip, please, Tim.
My name's Ken Isaacs, and today I'm in Krakowice, Poland, and behind me is Samaritan's Purse's DC-8 airplane, and we're under a new and exciting mission today. We're bringing Ukrainian refugees from Warsaw, and we're going to fly them to Toronto. So every week with the DC-8, we bring over predominantly medical supplies. The rest of the load could be non-food items such as hygiene supplies, temporary shelter materials, water filtration equipment. This plane are bringing these kind of supplies in every week. The plane's been going back empty. And for us to be able to identify a group of people through a congressman out of Tennessee, Congressman Christensen, and he asked us, could we help? So our legal team got on it, our program people got on it, we confirmed it, two thumbs up, and today we're gonna take the first load back, and a week from now we'll be bringing the second load back. We're greatly blessed today to be a part of this.
It's an incredible thing to see how God is using the ministry of Samaritan's Purse to help the people of Ukraine in so many ways in their time of need. Here helping people being moved from Poland to Canada, and we're praying for them in Jesus' name that this would be a time where God would minister to them with his love as they're able to move to a place of safety like Canada while the conflict is ongoing in Ukraine.
everything gonna be great. I think that we'll manage. And big thank you to Samaritan Purse, and guys, you're doing a great job. Thanks it all, and keep doing this.
Did you notice on the nose of that aeroplane, "Helping in Jesus' name" written there? That's the slogan of Samaritan's Purse. Samaritan Purse has about 24 aircraft spaced around the world, placed around the world, helicopters and that sort of thing. They can take the rotors off a chopper, put it inside the big planes, and fly that to an emergency need. He mentioned Ukraine. It's very close to our hearts, and isn't it? And that aircraft has done 38 airlifts already to Ukraine, carrying hundreds and hundreds of tons of aid and so on. I've had the privilege of being on board that plane, and as a matter of fact, off the record, Franklin said to me one day, he said, "We bought that from an Aussie," and he tried to rip us off. Oh, I said, "No, what? What was his name?" And we're not recording, are we? I shouldn't. Packer. I said, "Oh, that explains it." So there we are. But Samaritan Purse, as we said, and as I heard David pray and I heard that, is so wide. I mean, 17 ton just went in that plane this last week to Maui. Aid stuff. They don't send bottles of water. They send water filtration plants with the engineers on board to set it up and to provide ongoing things like water and so on. Cambodia. Samaritan Purses, I heard just on this week, has built their 46th school in Cambodia. And I've got to tell you, they're not just tin sheds. They're brick buildings, tile roof, concrete slabs, toilets, the whole thing. And I've been privileged, said Merrill, to be there at the opening and to open some of those schools. And to part of my job has been to rattle the tin back here in Australia where the money is, and say, "Come on, would you like to build a school?" Over coffee, I can tell you some stories about that, but I won't take time now. But things like education, all those schools in Cambodia, that's only one country. Agriculture, animals, many countries. Hospitals, birthing suites, building them all over the place. Emergency relief, and of course, the field hospitals. Now, you've probably seen them on telly. When there's a disaster, you'll see a Samaritan Purse field hospital. They fly it in on the DC-8. Set it up in a matter of a couple of days. It's amazing. I've been in those hospitals. It's amazing to me how they can get the power going, the water going, the security, two operating theatres, 50-bed ward, all the staff, doctors, nurses. And if you have the misfortune to have to go to Maroondah Hospital, when you go into emergency room, you may be greeted by a lovely nurse called Alison. She's just come back from working in a field hospital in Ukraine, and she's a burn specialist, a senior critical care nurse, and she's a friend, and we're able to see her go over there. Of course, Turkey, the hospital's set up in Turkey, and SP will leave that hospital behind. They'll train the local people, the local doctors, and they'll donate that to the country they've been in and move on to others. Now, both Bob Pierce and Billy Graham, it said, were the friends of the little people. They would talk to me, they'd talk to you. Friends of little people. But they're also, God used them to be friends to world leaders, to presidents. But enough about that. Let's talk shoeboxes in the remaining little bit of time we've got. Tim, if we could run that little video on the shoeboxes, then we'll speak a little bit about Operation Christmas Child. Thank you.
At the count of three, when children open the shoeboxes, they're so excited.
Those faces just transform.
Yeah, these kids behind me are so excited because they've just received their boxes.
The mouth is wide open, the voice is raised, smiles are all over. That box brings joy.
We're right now in Phnom Penh in Cambodia. I mean, it's just been incredible. kids are so excited, giving them a gift. Do it in Jesus' name, and that's what this is all about.
Jesus loves you.
It's a gospel opportunity. It's the chance for the children to change the entire life.
That's what I love about Operation Christmas Child. It knows no borders, it knows no boundaries. It's all about sharing the name of Jesus Christ.
Churches are doing big things with Operation Christmas Child.
Everybody out there who packs shoeboxes, they are spreading God's love.
It's families, it's churches, it's hundreds of thousands of volunteers that help make Operation Christmas Child so successful. We couldn't do it without them.
With this box, they do get the gospel story. They do hear about Jesus.
It has maximum impact in the worldwide kingdom of Christ. I mean, what better thing could you do than be involved and fill shoeboxes?
Some of them go by train, some go by camels, some go by ships. These boxes go all over the world, and that is only the beginning.
After receiving the shoe boxes, the children will be invited to go through the Greatest Journey, which is a 12-lesson discipleship program where they learn about the greatest gift, which is Jesus Christ.
After a child completes the Greatest Journey, they graduate and receive a Bible in their own language.
Nag-istorya ado pa hindi nga kanta mo umay kampaid ang kankanda dita sa angong mga. Imbasa mo ba si hindi mo ni papa, ni lola, ni lolo, ni papa, mamat, kat mamati da ken ni Apong Diyos.
When the light of the gospel is turned on, that changes everything.
Churches are being planted.
Lives are being changed. Communities are being transformed.
The word of God is spreading. The gospel is advancing.
It is impacting children. It is impacting families. It is impacting the world greatly.
Thank you for praying. Thank you for giving. I would like to ask you to consider packing shoeboxes year-round. God will bless, and God will use your gift to touch the life of a child and to be able to do it in Jesus' name. So thank you. Thank you for being a part of it. God bless each and every one of you.
It's the most exciting thing to do, to go to a country and distribute those shoeboxes, I can tell you. Operation Christmas Child is really the world's largest children's organisation. It is huge. And if you can stand a couple more stats, and I'm nearly done, Dave, it won't be long. Just to mention to you again, currently, this year, last year, and by the way, you can pick up, that's a shoebox, that's a flat pack. If you follow, I have trouble doing it, if you follow A to B and B to two, whatever, you can make a shoebox. So that's it, and that becomes up like that, like a shoebox, and that's what we can, and there's instructions there, there's brochures there, what you can put in, what you can't put in. You don't put chocolates or little toy guns or toothpaste and things in, for all the obvious reasons. But that is not a shoebox, that's a gospel box. It's the gospel in a shoebox. Let me show you why. Last year in Australia, We suffered after the COVID. Things, you know, really suffered everywhere, church and so on. And last year, 228,000 shoeboxes were done out of Australia. 228,000 went to six countries, and I can show you the countries later if you want to. Victoria did 35,000. And you think, it's not much, but you think about 35,000 shoeboxes, the logistics, the amount of shipping containers they fill, and getting them off the wharf and on ships into the countries, it's a huge thing. But worldwide, last year only, in 2022, Samaritan Purse did 10.6 million shoeboxes to 100 countries. And the logistics of that does blow your mind. I've been privileged to watch them loading semi-trailers, watching loading ships, forklifts running everywhere. It's huge. But it's only huge because you and I pack a box and pray over the box with our families, with our kids. Lord, please take this box to the boy or the girl who really needs that. And there's many stories of a kid opening a box and just so excitement because there's a pair of thongs he's been asking God for, or there's a little T-shirt, or there's a car, or whatever it might be. So I want to say to you, it's more than just a nice Christmas present. It's more than just a warm and fuzzy box of things to play with, a skipping rope or a yo-yo or whatever. It's all about those conversions and understanding of the gospel, conversions to Jesus Christ. 2,446,000 last year. It's a figure. It's statistics, and they go over like that. But when you stop and think about the impact worldwide of the shoebox, it's enormous. So let me go back and let's read that in Luke 10. Let's read the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, and then we're nearly done. Parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So here it is. And one day, it says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, what is written in the law? How do you read that? And the man answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. And Jesus said, you have read that correctly. Jesus replied, do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbour? And in reply, Jesus said, there was a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. Now, you wouldn't want to do that. We were in Israel some years back, and the tour bus, a group of Christians, said, no, we're supposed to be going to Jericho today from Jerusalem, but we're not. There's a lot of trouble up there. It's too dangerous. We'll divert and go somewhere else. So that's today. This is in biblical times, so they're dangerous places. So they stripped this person who was walking of his clothes, and they beat him up and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road when he saw the man. He took one look and he passed by on the other side. So too a Baptist. Oh, I'm sorry, I misread that. So too a Levite. I hope you get my humour. A Levite. When he came to the place and he saw the guy, he passed by on the other side. But a person from Samaria, a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds and pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man that fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus turned and said, you go and do likewise. And that's the challenge for us today. There's our instructions, folks, today. Go and do likewise. That's our motivation from Jesus' words himself. So let's be encouraged to continue on with your calling as a church and the different ministries you're involved in. And we pray God's blessing on all of that. We pray for the shoebox ministry. There's brochures there with dates. It's coming up. It's coming into shoebox season, as we call it now, where they'll shortly be filled, collected, collated, sorted, packed into containers and shipped off to the children in many countries. But let me say, read the final verse as I wind up here now. And that's in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, just as a word of encouragement to us all. It simply says this, therefore, my dear brothers, in Lilydale. Stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Always give yourself fully. Go flat out. And give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because your labour is not in vain. Folks, you are your brother's keeper. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be together, to worship, to hear from your word, your very words, to hear about these ministries of Samaritan Purse. We do commit that to you and all the aspects of it that's happening around the world today. We pray for the gospel going out through the Billy Graham organisation. We think of all the pressure of travels to unknown parts of the world, and we ask that you would indeed enrich and give your blessing to those servants of yours, so that many hundreds, many thousands, many people, boys, girls and families will come to know you and even be reunited. So we thank you for this opportunity to focus on missions. Lord, my heart has been touched today, and I pray that each of us will feel that as we go from this place today. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I think we're going to sing a little song called Filled with Compassion. How appropriate. Filled with Compassion. Thank you very much.